This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Kathy Hart not available this week. She'll be back in a couple of weeks, next week, depending on when and where you're listening to this. We do have a guest in on the phone today, Kate Rionblu, talking about vitamin K2, keeping calcium in its place, and an interesting question posed during the break by my operator here. Vitamin K2, actually, I get the biggest question I get in the health food industry is people look and they come in looking for vitamin D3, and that's basically all we sell. But there are vitamins D1 and 2, and I would assume there's also a K1. What's the difference in all these?
Well, that's a good question, because this is the reason why vitamin K2 was essentially overlooked, because of the confusion around it. So the K vitamins are a family, like the B vitamins. You can't just say vitamin B because there's a bunch of them. Fortunately, when it comes to vitamin Ks, there's only 1 and 2. Most people, when they think of vitamin K, they're thinking of vitamin K1. It comes from green leafy vegetables, and its major role in the body is in blood clotting. Vitamin K2 is quite distinct. You don't find it from green leafy vegetables. It doesn't participate in blood clotting under normal circumstances, and deficiency is quite common, unlike vitamin K1, where deficiency is extremely rare. And so that's really the main differences between them. You know, for shoppers going into a health food store, you don't have to worry, because generally you won't find vitamin K1 in a supplement. It's mostly K2, but still it's worthwhile reading the label, because you really don't need to buy a supplement or pay for vitamin K1 at all. Just focus on the K2, because that's the one that's hard to get.
Well, actually, you mentioned green leafy vegetables as a source for K1, and right away my alarm bells go off, because I don't really eat a lot of green leafy vegetables. Might I need K1?
You know what? Even if you just eat the parsley on the side of your plate once in a blue moon, you will get enough vitamin K1 in through your diet, because the body recycles. Vitamin K1 is so important that you can't afford to bleed to death because you haven't eaten green leafy vegetables. And so the body will recycle vitamin K1 almost infinitely. Even tiny amounts in your diet will get you through, because the body recycles it. So don't even worry about that. It's rare to be deficient, but signs of vitamin K1 deficiency include bleeding, like nosebleeds or just easy bleeding from anywhere, as well as bruising. So unless you have those symptoms, you probably are fine for vitamin K1.
Well, that's good to know. A big sigh of relief from this side of the table. Let's talk about the D vitamins, because we did talk about that briefly in the introduction to this topic. What's the difference then between D1, 2, and 3?
Well, the main types of vitamin D supplements that you'll find are D2 and D3. And actually, D2 is very uncommon to find, certainly if you're shopping at a good health food store, which is where I do recommend people get their supplements, then you'll pretty much only find vitamin D3. Which is the form of vitamin D which is natural and more like the form that we make in our bodies. Vitamin D2, you may still find this occasionally at the pharmacy. It was a synthetic form of vitamin D, one of the original ones to the market, but it's not as safe or as effective as the D3 form.
Okay. What about D1? What is that?
No, D1 isn't really one that is plays a role in human health.
Oh, okay. Now, we were talking, the main topic is K2, and we were talking some of the benefits, and I'm just reading through the benefits listed in the booklet here, and it actually, a wide range, anti-aging, brain and neurological, dental and oral, diabetes, wrinkles, varicose veins, muscle cramps, fertility. So this really is a wide-scoping vitamin as far as what it affects.
It is. If you just looking at the calcium benefits, so obviously then if we're putting calcium in the right place, you can expect to see benefits for bone health, bone density, as well as heart health, cardiovascular health, because you're reducing hardening of the arteries. So those are the two big benefits. But as well, there are other less expected ones. Oral health is one that you mentioned and touched on. That's quite important. Many people who start taking a vitamin K2 supplement will report, for example, less tooth sensitivity or better gum health or less plaque forming around their teeth. Those things are common. As well, varicose veins. this is one that can be quite amazing to see. It is, calcium can build up in the walls of the veins, just as it does in the arteries. And so for that reason, K2 can be helpful for varicose veins. The list goes on and on. For children's health, very important for development of the skeleton, the bones and the teeth as kids are growing, as well as for male fertility in particular, increases testosterone and sperm counts.
Okay. The one that caught my eye and will probably result in a rush to the health food store is anti-aging and wrinkles.
And yes, that's right. Well, anti-aging on a number of levels, but specifically when it comes to wrinkles, K2 does play a role in wrinkle prevention. There are a number of aspects that cause our skin to wrinkle, but one of them is when calcium builds up on the elastic tissues in our skin, then those tissues aren't so elastic anymore. They don't bounce back. And so because K2 can prevent and even reverse calcifications, that can help skin be more resilient and less prone to wrinkling.
Perfect. Now, this is your current book, Vitamin K2, Keeping Calcium in Its Place. You said you're working on a new book.
Well, lately I have been fascinated with the topic of aging well, and specifically how to lower your biological age, which sounds incredible, but it is something that we can do. This is, of course, the difference between our chronological age is the difference between the day we were born and today's date, and there's no changing that. But at the cellular level, you can measure aging in a number of ways, and there are ways to essentially reduce your biological age. And so this is keeping me occupied of late, and looking at various studies that show how we can lower our biological age, in other words, age better, and delay the onset of age-related conditions.
Was this a natural progression from the vitamin K2? Because we just talked about the anti-aging in that.
In some ways it is, and certainly K2 still plays a big role in here, and it's still a major passion of mine. But it's also its own distinct topic that's kind of caught my interest.
So what are the things that have sort of tweaked your enthusiasm on this topic so far? What have you discovered so far that really excites you?
Several things. For example, exercise can help you lower your biological age and even grow new brain cells, which is pretty amazing. The magnesium that we were speaking about earlier is associated with what's called longer telomeres. This is an important marker or measure of your biological age. And so there are a number of natural supplements that can help lower your biological age. Magnesium is one of them. Omega-3 essential fatty acids. A number of studies indicate that people who consume more omega-3s have a lower biological age. As well as mindset. I'm really fascinated in the research that shows even people under incredible stress can modify and minimize the effect of that stress on their aging process through their thoughts and their mindset. So that is really very powerful.
Yeah, that's an interesting topic, the mindset part of it, because we get plenty of people coming into the store pretty much daily, and they need something to handle the stress. And to me, I was pretty much a stressed-out kid, and my mom used to say, you got to settle down or you're going to have an ulcer, and I didn't know what that meant. But over time, I thought, okay, I have to learn to relax. And it seems to me that people are just always looking for the pill and not really understanding that a lot of it has to do with the mind.
Yes, and I mean, it's absolutely conclusive when it comes to stress that it's not what happens to us, but what we think about what happens to us that makes something stressful or not stressful. And at the cellular level, it really does make a difference in how that stress impacts us. And it turns out that that's true for every aspect of health, in that the mind can make a big, big impact on various aspects of our health.
Yeah, so it's kind of a psychological cure to something a lot of people feel is a vitamin deficiency, although I do understand B vitamins are pretty much related to stress?
Oh, very much so. I mean, there are a number of nutrients that our body will go through quicker and we need more of when we're under stress. B vitamins are are some. Those are quite famous for that. B5 in particular, but all the B vitamins. Magnesium just keeps coming back around. That's another nutrient that we'll go through in higher amounts when we're under stress. So there's no doubt that certain nutrients will help us respond to stress better. But ultimately, it's true that our mindset is crucially important in how stressful things are to us.
And I guess that ties right in with the whole anti-aging part. What I've seen over the years is that stress seems to be a major factor in disease and in turn, aging.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Stress produces cortisol, which in small amounts is a good thing, but in large amounts can be quite a bad thing and cause deterioration in the body. And stress also produces inflammation. It causes our body to respond by producing inflammatory compounds in the same way as it would if we, say, twisted an ankle or injured ourselves. And so those inflammatory compounds can be very problematic. But again, there are specific studies that show that just through the power of the mind and the brain, we can influence the production of those. Studies that show, for example, mothers who are caregivers for dependent children, that those who perceive their stress, daily stress, as a challenge age slower and are in better health than those that perceive their stress as a threat.
Which I guess is another reason the medicinal marijuana is very popular. But we'll get into that topic another time. The main topic we've been discussing today is vitamin K2. Kate Rionbleu, give us a capsulization of the importance of K2.
Mm-hmm. For anybody who is concerned about bone health or heart health, or anybody who is or has taken calcium supplements and is taking vitamin D supplements, it's crucial to understand the importance of vitamin K2, that it helps to take calcium that's in our body and guide it into the bones and out of the arteries, so important for bone health and heart health. But as well, it plays a role in various aspects of cognitive health, cancer prevention and protection, children's health, fertility. It's an important and very overlooked nutrient.
Okay, and another reminder of where we can get vitamin K2 other than supplements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's two main sources, which is grass-fed animal foods, as well as some types of fermented foods, like the Japanese soybean food natto, as well as certain cheeses, Gouda, Brie, and Jarlsberg, are foods that we know of, and we need to do more testing.
Okay. If anyone wants more information, how can they track this down? Where can they get a hold of you?
They can reach me at my website, www.drkatend.com, or they can go to their local health food store to ask if they might have a copy of the small booklet version of vitamin K2, Keeping Calcium in Its Place.
Or the full-blown book.
The full-blown book is available on all of the online book retailers, wherever you like to buy your books, Amazon, for example. And as I said, the audio version just came out this week, so you can check that out on Audible or other online audiobook retailers.
Excellent. Thanks for calling in today. Kate Rionbleu, the book again, Vitamin K2, Keeping Calcium in Its Place, vitally important for everybody's health. We're going to take a quick time out, and we're hoping to get our second guest, Jamie Bella, on the phone after a break.